my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given to us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. You see, that's what we can trust God for. When we commit our lives to him, we can bank it. Take it to the bank as a surety, as a very sure thing. Until that day, Paul often talked about was the day of the return of our Lord Jesus. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy and on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered in Ephesus. In that chapter, you can see that some were faithful and some weren't. But it's obvious that Paul had a great admiration for Timothy. He called him his beloved son in verse 1. The book of Acts tells us that Paul met Timothy at Derbe and Lystra. And it tells us that when they met together, Paul took him along and mentored him. And they went out preaching the gospel together. And Timothy was also influenced by Christianity through a faithful grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, who was of Jewish descent and had become a Christian. And it was probably through them that Timothy first learned about the Lord, first learned about Jesus and how Jesus is the Savior of the world. And, you know, as mothers and as grandmothers, you have a tremendous effect upon your children. And don't underestimate the value of what you do in their lives. Today, there are some moms here who are trying to raise children, perhaps by themselves. Trying to raise a child is difficult under the best of circumstances. But never, never underestimate the value of godly influence in the life of your children. And I believe it was also Abraham Lincoln who said, "All I am and all I have, I owe to my angel mother." Timothy was a believer. In fact, Paul said he had a sincere faith. There was nothing phony about this man at all. And this is the first and foremost point that I want to bring out about being and being able to live an influential life. A person must be a born-again Christian. You have to be a Christian in order to live a Christian life. At some point in your life, you must have heard and understood the gospel that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. You would have had to believe this message and accept it as truth and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that is what we call being born again. It's a liberating spiritual experience that frees a person from the slavery of sin and enables one to be able to live for Christ through the power that is in us, the power of God's Holy Spirit. And did you know that God's Spirit lives in the person who becomes a believer in Christ? And if you're a believer in Christ today, you have eternal life. You're going to heaven. But you know, it's not a matter of being a good person. Don't misunderstand me when I say this, but good people don't go to heaven. The scripture says in the book of Romans that there is none good. There's not even one. All of us have gone astray. All of us have wandered away from the Lord. But the good news is, God has given us a way back to him. And we must have a sincere faith in Christ to live an influential Christian life. And so we need to ask ourselves the question this morning: am I born again? Do I know the Lord as my Savior? And am I willing to walk with him? When you were born again, God gifted you spiritually. He has given you a gift that comes from his Holy Spirit who indwells you. And some people have the gift of mercy. And when they see someone in need, their first response is to reach out to that individual and to try to minister to those needs. And others have the gift of giving. They love to give of their time. They love to give of their resources to the work of the Lord. And others have the gift of helps. They see something that needs to be done. They jump in there and they do it. And others have a gift of evangelism. And I think probably Timothy had a gift of evangelism, as we read further in the book of 2 Timothy. They're gifted, these people, in being able to communicate clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the list of gifts is large. But many times, you know, I find that the Holy Spirit enables people to do things that they naturally would not be able to do. Why does God give such a diverse amount of gifts to the church? Why would he do that? Well, we're told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that gifts are for the common good of everyone. So your gift and my gift is for the common good. And we aren't given that gift to sit on it and not do anything with it. We're supposed to use it within the body of believers to encourage, to edify one another. They're for edification and the encouragement of the church. In order to be an influential Christian, we must be zealous and use that gift that God has given to us to minister to the needs of others. And Paul exhorted Timothy in this passage, in fact, in verse 6, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. And this could be in reference to the Holy Spirit. It could be in reference to spiritual gifts or both. And I think it can apply to both. The point is clear, though, that the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to be zealous for the Lord, to stir up the gift of God that was in him and use it. Don't let it die out. You know, as I was reading this, I was thinking about an old story that I heard years ago from someone who was preaching and read about it since. But it's about a man who was an effective contributor to his local church. And then he began to draw away, began to back off and withdraw. And then an elderly gentleman noticed this, and he went to visit him one evening. And they sat by a wood fireplace, mostly without saying a word to each other. And then finally the old man reached over and grabbed the tongs that were beside the fireplace and reached into the fire and took out a hot ember, brought it over, and set it on the stone of the fireplace. And they just sat there again in silence as they watched this red ember turn slowly, slowly dark because it was cooling off. And the elderly man just simply rose from his chair and left. But the message got through to the young man. The red ember represented his life at one time. He was a person who was red hot for the Lord, and he had allowed himself to cool and get away from the Lord, and he needed to rekindle his fire again. And maybe that's where you are this morning in your life as a Christian. Maybe you need to rekindle the fire that once burned in your heart for Christ and start using your gift for the Lord and becoming a zealous disciple of Jesus Christ. The scripture reminds us here in verse 7 that God has not given to us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of discipline. Rather than being timid, we need to be zealous for Christ and take advantage of the power of God in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the love of God and for God that helps us to overcome timidity and fear in our lives. We have the spirit of discipline, of self-control as Christians, and we should zealously exercise discipline in all areas of our lives for the glory of God. We can never forget who we are here to glorify. It's not about me. It's about God and his glory. So what is your spiritual gift? Are you using that gift for the Lord? Are you zealously using it? To be an influential Christian, we first of all have to be born again. And secondly, we need to live zealously for Christ. It's not about us, it's about God who has given us all the necessary tools by his Spirit to live and glorify him. What else did Paul tell Timothy if he was going to be an influential Christian? If we look at verse 8, it says this. Basically, don't be ashamed. Therefore, do not be ashamed, Paul said, of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Paul reminded his disciple in verse 12 that he was not ashamed. He suffered, but he said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know who I've believed in. So why would I be ashamed, he said. And he also said that Onesiphorus was not ashamed either. And he didn't want Timothy to be ashamed as well. Paul was courageous. He was in prison, suffering imprisonment, but he was courageous while suffering that imprisonment. And he wanted Timothy to be willing to do the same, Not that he necessarily was going to suffer, but he wanted him to be willing to do it. Why? Because Jesus saved us, he went on to say. Jesus called us out to be his by his grace. He marked us out from eternity, and we are his. It had nothing to do with works at all, the good works that we do. It was simply by God's grace that this was accomplished for his purpose. God's grace was revealed through Jesus, who abolished death. And he showed us that we can live forever through receiving him as Lord and Savior. Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel message, and he is saying that to Timothy, that Timothy should be willing to do the same. But you know what? This message wasn't just for Timothy. It's for us today. In the 21st century, we need to apply it to our own lives, and we need to be willing to suffer if necessary for the Lord. There are believers today in Syria, in other places of the world, who are dying for the sake of the gospel. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hear about the martyred church. And people are being martyred today, believe it or not, for their faith, more so than at any other time in history. And we may not be called to die like that, but perhaps we're going to suffer in other ways. Maybe we're going to be ostracized. Maybe we're going to have to suffer ridicule or some other form of suffering for the Lord. But we need to be courageous and continue to stand for our faith. And that is one of the most difficult things to do during a trial, is to be able to stand and say, God, you're in control. I don't understand this, but you are in control. It all boils down to trust, doesn't it? Trusting a God who is intimately familiar with all of our ways. I like what the hymn writer wrote: day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly. It's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. An influential Christian is born again, zealous, courageous, and finally, I'm going to end with this one, scriptural. He holds to and guards scriptural language. And this isn't simply referring to the truth of scripture, but it also warns against changing scripture to make it sound more appealing. In other words, he's saying that we should not change the scriptural meaning by using words that may be less offensive to our listeners and our hearers. Let me give you a few examples. There are some today who avoid talking about sin and its consequences. They believe the only thing we should be talking about today is love, and we should avoid anything that talks about sin at all. What is sin? The Bible says that sin is lawlessness. It is breaking God's laws and God's commands. And sin separates us from God. And you know what? The Bible says this. The Bible says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by birth, and I'm a sinner by practice. Even though I'm a Christian, I still sin, and I know you find that hard to believe, but I do. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you a number of times. But but you know what? As sinners, we have two choices. We can either ignore it or we can deal with it. But how do we deal with it? We accept, first of all, God's scriptural solution. First of all, which is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave, defeating sin and spiritual death. And this entitles us to eternal life. This means that we are saved. This means that we have the power not to sin in our lives, even though we do. And we're also rescued from eternal damnation and hell. Another term that we've dropped and I think we need to revive again is the word repent. It means to make an about face like this and go the other way. To go in a totally different direction. It has nothing to do with the unscriptural message that we often hear about asking Jesus into our heart. What does that mean? It really doesn't mean a whole lot. But there was a time in my life when I wanted nothing to do with Christ. And then one day I was introduced to the gospel. And I received Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, and gave my life to him. And the direction of my life was changed. Not the way I would desire it to be, but it has changed. I believe that God gave us his Son. I confessed him as Lord, and I believe that God had raised him from the dead. And you know what? I repented. And Jesus, what was Jesus' first message when he started his earthly ministry? It was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we need to teach and preach repentance, that there must be a change in an individual's life. Other words that we use infrequently are words that Jesus also used when he was talking to Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus, except a man be what? Born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And I would think that we should guard this expression as well. If it's that important, if this is one of the ways that we, if this is the way that we get into to heaven by being born again, not one of the ways, the way, then we should guard it. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. Legacy and influence. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind when you leave this earth? What kind of influence do you want to have for Christ? And you know, the older I get, I see this timeline shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. We don't have much time. Naturally speaking, and we may not have much time anyway because the Lord could come before that period. But are you saved today? Are you born again? Do you know that you're born again? Have you repented of your sin and changed the direction of your life by confessing Jesus as Lord? If not, you can do that today. Scripture says today is the day of salvation, and you can be saved today. You can change your life today like that. You know, as Christians, we are freed. We're freed slaves, but that doesn't mean that we can do what we want. God wants our whole heart. He wants my whole heart. He wants us to be not just Christians by name, but Christians of influence. He wants us to be zealous. That's what John the Baptist was known for, his zeal. He was a bright, the scripture says, he was a bright and shining light. And he wants us, the Lord wants us to be zealous and on fire for him. So, do we need to rekindle? Bring to life again the spark that is in us through God the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's something in your life that you're not dealing with before the Lord, and that's just causing a deadness in your life. There's a scriptural solution for that, and we need to confess our sin and ask the Lord to forgive us, and we need to be willing to forsake it. But God also wants us to be courageous. Men and women who are not ashamed of the Lord or of the Lord's people. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But he also wants us to hold to scriptural truth and scriptural language. We don't have to dumb down scripture for people to understand. We need to realize that it's God the Holy Spirit that delivers that word and gives the light of scripture and sheds light on the scripture to a searching heart. In short, I think we need to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy. And with God's help, we can be Christians of influence and we can leave a legacy on this earth that will glorify the name of our Lord. So we're going to pray now. We have a couple of minutes. Going to pray, and I'm going to give you a few minutes this morning to just pray quietly before the Lord. And maybe there's something that you want to say to the Lord that you want to say. Maybe you want to come to Christ for the very first time this morning. You can do that. And then afterwards, we're going to have some people here who are going to wait up at the front. And if you want to pray or if you have something you'd like to share, we'll be here to help you out with that as well. So why don't you pray and then I'll close in prayer. Lord, you're a mighty God. You made us. You created us. Scripture says that you're intimately acquainted with all our ways. You wove us together in our mother's womb. And so, Lord, today you know the heart. And you know that you know what each person here is actually thinking. And so we commit each person to you today in this auditorium. Thank you for bringing them here. We thank you for your love that you shower upon us continually. Thank you that you're interested in everything that we do. And I pray, O God, that you would bless the homes of every family here. And may these homes rise up and serve you and bless your name. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We thank you that he came, he died, he rose again, he lives, and so because he lives, we live as well. Help us to live for him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you and